Next, we'll hear from Ryan Cousins, and after that, if Claire Brumley could come up. Ryan.
Good morning. Ryan Cousins, here representing the American Honey Producers Association. My family also farms almonds for about the past 40 years in Madera, and we've been beekeeping for about 12 years. I'd like to thank Mr. Denham for co-chairing the Pollination Caucus in the House and for all you have done to bring attention to this issue. And to you, Mr. Chairman, for your recent statements acknowledging the challenges we face and committing to work towards solutions in the Farm Bill. Honeybee health is still in major jeopardy, with annual losses up to 45%, according to USDA. And this, 10 years after identifying most of our major issues. Our bees are responsible for pollinating $20 billion in agricultural output. Recent news about improvements in honeybee health are overblown. Even if colony loss numbers are slightly better year over year, those numbers do not account for the substantial practice changes and input costs we are bearing as an industry. The truth is that anything over 15% is a challenge for us. We have a long way to go. Pollinated crops like almonds will continue to be at risk if we cannot get both colony numbers and colony vitality back up. There is no replacement for the honeybee. In this Farm Bill, the American Honey Producers Association is calling for increased cap in the ELAP program, since we are currently only collecting pennies on the dollar with a $20 million program limit. More conservation program acreage into affordable and large-scale honeybee plantings. More coordinated research for honeybee health with ARS, NIFA, and all other USDA agencies so that longitudinal field research can be done to identify causes and, more importantly, find solutions for the commercial beekeeper. Bottom line, whether pesticides, mites, or habitat are the primary cause of our plight, we need to continue to live within the agricultural community. We are not looking for solutions that benefit us to someone else's detriment, but serious efforts need to be take place if we are to find a way to both protect crops and the pollinators like honeybees. Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan. Next, we'll hear from Claire Brumley, and after that, Milton O'Hare. Claire.
Good morning. My name is Claire Brumley, and I'm a VP Lending with American Ag Credit, part of the Farm Credit System. American Ag Credit specializes in providing financial services to agricultural and rural customers throughout California, Nevada, Kansas, Oklahoma, Colorado, and New Mexico. Financial services provided by American Ag Credit include production and mortgage financing, equipment and vehicle leasing, crop and life insurance, and lines of credit. We also have programs that help serve young, beginning, and small farmers. I was born and raised here in the Central Valley and continue to be part of my family farm operations that currently produces almonds and walnuts. Our family farm has utilized financing from American Ag Credit and its predecessors for over 30 years, initially for land acquisition, then again when transitioning from grain crops to permanent plantings. We have always found American Ag Credit to be one of the most secure sources of long-term financing. Dealing with people from American Ag Credit has always included the benefit of many of the employees being dedicated professionals who not only know, but have lived agriculture. The family farm has utilized services from the University of California Extension in planting and developing orchards, especially in regards to information relative to nutrient management and water management. We've also utilized the services of the Natural Resources Control Service by participating in programs to retire equipment no longer environmentally sound and in improving our irrigation systems. The farm has participated in the crop insurance program for many years. After watching hail obliterate our rice crop in the mid-90s with our crop insurance, we were still able to make our loan payments and move forward. The crop insurance program continues to provide a safety net and preserve the family farm in the event of a disaster. American Ag Credit, along with the Farm Credit System, supports passage of a strong farm bill in 2018. Our priorities include strengthening the federal crop insurance program, expanding the Farm Service Agency direct and guaranteed loan program, and boosting investment in rural infrastructure. Along with these remarks, I am providing for the record further details on each one of these issues. Thanks again for coming out to California, and we look forward to working with the committee as you continue to craft the next farm bill.
Thank you, Claire. Next, we'll hear from Milton O'Hare, and after that, Larry Hunn.
Milton. Good morning, Chairman Conaway and distinguished members of the House Committee on Agriculture. My name is Milton O'Hare, and I'm the Stanislaus County Agricultural Commissioner and Sealer of Weights and Measures. Welcome to Stanislaus County, the home of the largest almond acreage in the nation. Agriculture is the number one industry and lifeblood of the county. Over 35% of the jobs are related to agriculture, and we produce over 250 different crops and livestock. And along with the rest of California, we supply the U.S. and the world with fresh produce. However, this precious resource is under constant threat from invasive insects hitchhiking aboard cargo or brought in by unsuspecting travelers. One of the best ways to combat these invasive insects is through an early warning system. Stanislaus County deploys and services over 6,000 invasive insect traps that serve as an early warning system by detecting species that are harmful to agriculture. The outcome is significant cost savings, as early detection avoids the high cost of a long-term management program. It also helps to maintain access to international markets for U.S. plant products. Since the early 2000s, Stanislaus County has detected various insects that could have proven detrimental to our local and state agriculture industry if not found at an early stage. Invasive pests found in the county include red imported fire ant, guava fruit fly, glasswing sharpshooter, light brown apple moth, and Asian citrus psyllid. We employ 20 seasonal staff to service these traps, and a portion of the program's cost is covered with funding from the USDA, funded through the Biological Pest and Disease Management provisions of the Farm Bill. I urge Congress to continue adequate support for these provisions in the 2018 Farm Bill. Thank you for coming to our county and for the opportunity to make these comments this morning.
Thank you, Milton. Next, we'll hear from Larry Hunn and then Tim Schultz after that. Larry?
Good morning. My name is Larry Hunn. I'm a fourth-generation owner-operator of a diversified family farm in the Sacramento Delta. I'm here presently representing the California Association of Wheat Growers and the California Wheat Commission. I'm glad to hear from the chairman that you're going to expedite this farm bill. Like last time, it was delayed for 2 years. So I'm pleased to hear that we're going to try to move that forward quicker. Wheat growers are suffering right now. We're some of the historical low prices. And so the FMD and the MAP program are vitally important. Nearly half of the wheat in the nation has to be exported. And U.S. wheat presently takes $10 million and utilizes those funds in those programs. The return on that investment for every dollar, $28 come back in export enhancement. So those programs are vitally important to us. Crop insurance is also too important. There's been talk of reducing the AGI limit, and there's some talk of putting a $40,000 on the subsidy for the insurance. I think what would happen, you would have many farmers not buy crop insurance, and then we'll go back to the old system where when there was a disaster, you'd go back to Congress and apply for a disaster payment, and I don't think we want to do that. I think it would be better to have crop insurance. So those things should stay the same. The other is agricultural research is also vitally important. I don't know if you're familiar with the $9.7 million that was granted to the NEFA program. That's being headed by George Tukoski, who is a renowned researcher at UC Davis. It's vitally important that we continue to develop new varieties. Presently, 65% of the varieties that we have are being developed by the public program, so that's vitally important. If you're a true believer in global warming, climate change, we're ultimately going to have to adapt to these conditions, and varieties are the way to do it. The other thing also, too, is we'd like to keep the nutrition title and the farm program together. It's vitally important. I think we need to have support from both the urban members and the rural members, And I think that's probably one program that we can all kind of get together and agree on. The PL480 program, Food for Peace, is important to us also. It's a way we can move some of this excess product off into the world and feed hungry people. There had been some talk about eliminating that 480 program and just giving money. I think that's the wrong way. We want to give the food, not money. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry. Yeah, 2 minutes goes fast. I apologize for that, but we have a stack here, and I know that the chairman and the committee want to hear as many as they can. Next, we'll have Tim Schultz up, and then Dave Phippen. Tim.
Good morning. My name is Tim Schultz. I'm with Lundberg Family Farms, a third-generation family business. We're the country's leading supplier of organic rice and quinoa. This past year, sales of organic food products exceeded 5% of total food sales in the United States. Organic is one of the few growing segments in the overall food industry. And California is the organic capital with nearly 4,800 certified organic operations that produce 40% of all of the organic farm sales in the country. In the next farm bill, we have several priorities, but I'd like to focus today on three of them: funding for the Organic Research Extension Initiative, annual funding support of the National Organic Program, and one-time funding to improve NOP's enforcement tools. Mark Lipson addressed the success of OREI, and we're requesting that this research funding be increased to $50 million annually to support continued growth of the organic sector. NOP is charged with maintaining and enforcing the rules and regulations for organic products. We're asking NOP receive full funding at current levels and grow at the same rate the industry is growing, which is currently about 10% per year. Finally, we need one-time funding of $5 million for the NOP to eliminate paper documents and move to electronic import certificates to ensure full traceability of organic products throughout the complex global supply chain. Along with this, the NOP needs increased authority to ensure effective oversight, robust investigations, and enforcement across the entire supply chain. Organic agriculture brings economic benefits to rural America, enables beginning farmers to have sustainable operations, and provides great-tasting, nutritious food to our consumers. Thank you for considering organic priorities in the next Farm Bill.
Thank you, Tim. Next up, we'll have Dave Phippen, and then Melissa Cannon.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Dave Phippen. I represent a third-generation member of Travail and Phippen, a family almond farming partnership located in Ripon, California. And it's my understanding that a few of you had the pleasure of meeting my son-in-law, yet the fourth-generation member of Travail and Phippen. I hope you noted while you were there the over 65 family farmers that assist us in our operations and depend on our industry for their well-being. I'm also honored and privileged to be elected for a number of years now to the Almond Board of California, and I want to testify to you that the Almond Board has been a recipient of market access funding for a number of years while I've been on the board and previously, and I want to testify to you that we have effectively used that to assist and help the over 6,000 almond growers throughout the state of California in moving over 70% of those tasty, nutritious, crunchy almonds to foreign markets all over the globe. This program has been wildly effective, and we recommend that you consider increasing the funding for this very important market opportunity. I also want to testify you on the local level that our organization, the Travail and Phippen Family Partnership, has utilized EQIP funding for a number of our non-compliant farm machinery operations, and that program is very effective, well used. I've seen many of my neighbors availing themselves of that opportunity. California is well-renowned now for the drought, but I think less people realize the very strict air restrictions we have in the Central Valley, and so it's very difficult to comply. Lastly, I want to also urge you to continue funding for the specialty crop insurance. Our organization, again, insures 100% of our operation under crop insurance. We are funded 100% for over 30 years by the local farm credit, American Ag Credit now, and it's a huge risk mitigation measure, and I think very effectively used not only by those who finance California agriculture, but those who are being financed. Thank you very much for your consideration of these three things.
Thank you, Dave. I think you set a record for getting a lot in just under 2 minutes. Well done. Melissa Cannon will be up next, and after that, Andy Souza.
Good morning. My name is Melissa Cannon, and Modesto is my hometown, so I'm happy to be here today. SNAP is one of our country's most vital nutrition programs, our primary defense against hunger, and I urge you to continue to support SNAP as the Agricultural Committee has done strongly over previous farm bills. It was here in Modesto, California, that my family first had to rely on SNAP. We fell into poverty almost overnight. My father went to prison. We lost everything. We lost our home. We lost the primary breadwinner for our family. My mother, who was a single or a stay-at-home mom, had to enter the workforce. It took a while for her to find a job after not worked for 10 years. She eventually found a position really just up the road here as a maid, but making barely over minimum wage. SNAP is one of those programs that helped me to have a somewhat normal childhood despite what we went through. It helped to keep me fed. It helped to put food on the table. It helped to give me the ability to concentrate and focus on school, to give me a chance to provide a future for myself that didn't rely on the choices that my father made. And so I am eternally grateful for programs like SNAP. It has helped me to get to where I am today. I am now an advocate for healthy food for low-income Californians at the California Food Policy Advocates. My brother, he's another success story. He's now making a six-figure salary as a financial advisor at Charles Schwab. My sister works just up the road here at the Sierra Conservation Center as a corrections officer. She just bought her first home. SNAP helped us get there, and I urge you to continue to support SNAP in the Farm Bill. And for the 4.3 million Californians that depend on SNAP, it's vital that we continue the benefits at their current level. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. We'll next hear from Andy Souza, and after that, Kathy Hagee, I believe, but forgive me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, H-U-Y-G-H-E. Andy.
Good morning. Andy Souza, CEO of the Community Food Bank. It's kind of tough following Melissa's story, but we are the primary food access source for the southern five counties of San Joaquin Valley, Madera, Fresno, Tulare, Kings, and Kern counties. We currently serve about 280,000 people every month, and we have recently, over the last 4 years, doubled the amount of food we distribute from just under 20 million to just over 40 million pounds of food a year. Included in that 40 million pounds is 20 million pounds of fresh produce, thanks to the very generous ag region that we live in. But yet, with all of that and all that's being done, the stories like Melissa's duplicate rapidly. We are facing a hunger epidemic in our portion of the valley. Our unemployment rate is just over 9%, which is twice the national average. We have poverty rates between 25 and 28% in each of our counties. We have 1 in 4 adults and 1 in 3 children that are going hungry every month. This is very real, and it's very real on a daily basis to families like Melissa's and the very people we serve at the food bank. SNAP is a huge component of what we do. It's a huge part of the line of defense that we serve between families going hungry and families being productive in our communities. We know, Shanti shared earlier, the amount that we can't possibly make up at the food bank what's going to be lost with any potential cuts in SNAP. It's critical to the families we serve. It's critical to the communities we serve in. We've had the pleasure, of Representative Valadao coming to multiple distributions. And we make a distribution out to a community, rural communities in Fresno County. We load up our truck in the warehouse. We drive out there. We deliver the food. Families are served. It's critical. It's important to those very families. But it has minimal, if any, economic impact to those communities. SNAP impact is to every one of those communities. When folks receive that SNAP benefit, they're purchasing those meals right there in that community. They're helping employ the clerk, the bagboy. Everybody in that local supermarket is being employed because of the value of SNAP. So we would ask that as you go into your deliberations, we know you've heard a lot of competing interests, but we know that for the very future of our valley, SNAP is critical to that. And we'd like to ask you to consider maintaining the funding that's in place. And as was previously mentioned, please do not consider block granting. We know that there's certainly ramifications that are far beyond the initial discussion. So I want to thank you again for your time, for being here, and we will also be submitting written comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy. Next up will be Kathy, and then Piper Krussel.
Good morning. Yeah. I'm Kathy Hoyha. I'm the founder of a company called Enolytics. which brings big data and business intelligence to the wine and spirits industry. You may have heard that the exports of American wine, and particularly California wine, as reported in the last 2 weeks, has dropped precipitously, despite quantitative evidence of increasing consumer interest around the world. I would like to suggest that we can do better, and the technology and the language exists for us to do better. Since 2014, I've been researching for the Congressional Wine Caucus where USDA funding goes, especially in relation to the Market Access Program. I would like to respectfully suggest that it can be used a lot more strategically and a lot more efficiently. As I said, the language related to this topic, related to the use of data, exists currently in the current iteration of the Farm Bill, specifically in relation, in fact, to the SNAP program. There is awareness that data and business intelligence is a strategic and effective use of funding. This conversation started earlier this year for me with Congressman Mark Hurd from Texas and his staff, including Caleb Crosswhite, who encouraged me to come today and bring this potential to you. I actually live in Atlanta, so I may be the farthest one away to come today, but I believe in it very much. I believe very much in the possibility of data to use better government funding to help wineries and spirits producers in particular market their wine abroad. I believe that it's possible to improve the perception of U.S. wines globally. And I think that data is one of the ways, the smart and efficient use of data is one of the ways that we can do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Next, we'll have Piper, and after that, Karen Burr. Piper.
Good morning. My name is Piper Kressel.
There you go.
Might take 2 minutes for me to get this low enough. Can you hear me? Good morning. My name is Piper Kressel. I'm from Rockland, California. Is that better? And I am a senior district leader for the Humane Society of the United States volunteer program. And I'm here to ask you today to include animal welfare in the reforms in the 2018 Farm Bill currently under review. The completed farm bills in the last 15 years have all included animal welfare provisions, and the animal welfare getting such currency with every sector of the American public, the Agriculture Committee should be doing more on this topic. The USDA enforces our federal laws related to animal welfare, and these are the bills in Congress, and there are bills in Congress that strengthen enforcement relating to the USDA. Therefore, they relate to your committee. One of those bills, known as H.R. 909, is the Pet and Women's Safety Act. This bill has 231 House co-sponsors. It protects battered partners and their pets by extending current federal domestic violence protection to include pets and authorizes a small amount of grant money to help domestic violence shelters accommodate pets or arrange for shelter. This bill also authorizes very modest funding of $3 million per year to deal with a real and acute problem. It is assigned to the Agriculture Committee, and I know that Representative Denham is a lead co-sponsor of this bill, so I'd like to thank him for his humane leadership. We look forward to working with you and beside you on these important issues. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Piper. Next, we'll have Karen Burr, and following Karen will be John Duarte. Karen.
Good morning. Karen Burr. I'm the Executive Director of the California Association of Resource Conservation Districts, and I represent the 98 RCDs here in the state, as well as their boards, which are primarily made up of farmers and ranchers. We have four very simple asks for you this morning. The first is that in order to maintain strong agriculture and rural economies in California, that you maintain the Farm Bill at least at its current levels, if not reverting back to previous levels in the Farm Bill. Second, we ask that you maintain the conservation title. Especially here in California, the conservation title is really critical to assisting farmers and ranchers in maintaining their properties, their agricultural businesses, and also in being able to comply with regulation. Technical assistance is also a very critical part of this, given the diversity of landscapes and the diversity of crop types here in California, and we hope that you'll maintain the technical assistance provided to farmers and ranchers. And then finally, given the current crisis that we have in the Sierras, we hope that you'll maintain the forestry title and keep funding strong there so that we can help to repair our Sierra Nevadas. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Karen. Now we'll hear from John Duarte, and following John, John Couts.
Hello, Chairman, Congressman Denham, Congressman LaMalfa, Valadeo, Congressman Evans. Thank you for being here. I've met with all of you back in Washington, D.C. I'm John Duarte from Duarte Nursery. We produce trees and vines. We employ about 600 people on average throughout the year here in Modesto. And I'd really like to be talking to you today about the Clean Plant Network and plant importation, health, and exotic pest issues, which the Farm Bill has done a great job addressing. But that's not, unfortunately, my priority right now. I am being sued by the Army Corps of Engineers and Department of Justice for planting wheat in a wheat field. Congressman Denham and Mamalfa, you've both been to the property. You've seen the truth of what the facts are on that site. A major priority of this Farm Bill absolutely needs to be to clarify protections of right to farm from regulatory overreach. We have found that Army Corps of Engineers did not even have subject matter jurisdiction to bring this case against my company and myself, yet it's already cost us $3 million in legal expenses and threatens the existence of our company here in Modesto. We've got the Congress, we've got the Senate, we've got a president who's voiced very clear support for farmers' rights to farm. This case shows that food security in America is threatened by the progressive regulatory government power agenda. That should be a major focus in this year's Farm Bill. Thank you.
Thank you, John. John Couts, and following John will be Steve Schwartz.
Thank you. Welcome. Good morning. John Couts, past president of the State Board of Food and Ag, had the honor of doing many things, growing many crops. First, two items that I'd like to discuss. First, the fight that John Duarte is putting on for our benefit, all of us. We all need to jump in and help solve that problem, because the outcome of that event is going to definitely affect all of agriculture. So I highly urge you to support any of the actions that we can do. The second item that I'd like to talk about is the endangered species. The endangered species is a cash cow for a lot of the environmentalist organizations. And example, the elderberry, longhorned elderberry beetle, 3 years ago was listed to be delisted as endangered, and we still haven't got it done. It is ridiculous that we're leaving so many of these items that are being devastating to agriculture, and we need to clean them up while we have the opportunity, and let's get the job done. Thank you.
Thank you, John. We'll next hear from Steve Schwartz, and following that, Bob Elliott.
Good morning. I'm speaking on behalf of the California Caucus of the National Sustainable Agriculture Coalition, which is the state's leading sustainable agriculture and organic organizations. We have 15 groups representing over 50,000 stakeholders. First, I want to thank the California members of the delegation for the work, the cooperative work in the last Farm Bill cycle, and say that I'm looking forward to working with you all in the next time. NSAC has over 100 groups around the country, including members in Texas and Pennsylvania. Our caucus priorities include the working lands conservation programs like EQIP, specialty crop block grant programs, soil health initiatives, organic research programs, and food safety programs. But I want to make two points here. First about programs without baseline. You know, Congress has invested over $1 billion into the last Farm Bill to support a more sustainable food and farming system through several programs for which funding will dry up next year due to lack of baseline. So we really urge you to do everything you can to get this job done in 2018. We saw what happened last time. It affected a lot of California farmers and others around the state, around the country. Second one is, you know, we've heard rumors that it's kind of a very partisan climate back in D.C., but we all know that agriculture is a nonpartisan issue. And what I would say is, the last five farm bills, none of them have gone forward without clear support from both sides of the aisle, significant votes on both. So we know we're going to need bipartisan support, and I want to commend the California members here today who have a history of demonstrating that they will vote their conscience, vote their district, even when it's going against party leadership on certain issues of agriculture and food. And I hope that you'll step up early to be champions on marker bills. We know we're going to need bipartisan support at the end of the road. Let's do it early and show that leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. We'll now hear from Bob Elliott, and after Bob, we'll have Janae DaCosta.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Conway, distinguished members of the panel. I'm Bob Elliott, County Supervisor, San Joaquin County. Agriculture is the number one industry in San Joaquin County, so it's certainly in our best interest to support it and protect it as much as we can. We've already heard from several members of San Joaquin County this morning, so I won't repeat what they have said, but I would like to make just a couple of points. First, in general, any severe cuts to our specialty crops would certainly have a detrimental effect to our agriculture here, especially in terms of pest exclusion and pest detection programs. So I would urge your continued support for that type of program. Along those lines, funding for the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is critical. This defends our animal and plant resources from agricultural pests and diseases, and one great example is the Mediterranean fruit fly, which could be devastating if it's not controlled. So I would certainly urge you to continue support for these programs in the Farm Bill, and I thank you for being here today to listen to these concerns. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob. I hope I didn't butcher somebody's name. Is it Janae or Jeanette? Jeanette DaCosta Driscolls? Don't see them. We'll go on with Nelia Alamo. And then after that, Lupe Lopez. Lupe. Nelia.
Good morning. My name is Nelia Alamo. I am Director of Marketing and Communications for Renaissance Food Group. We are a fresh cut fruit and vegetable processor based in Rancho Cordova, California. I'm also a proud member of the United Fresh Produce Association. United Fresh represents all segments of the fruit and vegetable industry across the country. And United Fresh is part of the Specialty Crop Farm Bill Alliance. And I'd like to highlight a few of the Alliance top Farm Bill policy priorities. The first one is invasive pests and diseases. Specialty crops industry continues to support actions by federal government to eradicate and protect domestic market from increasing threat of exotic pests and diseases entering the United States. We believe Congress should continue to support these important programs. Nutrition. A key nutrition program is the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Snack Program, which reached more than 4 million low-income children. And we believe that this is a highly effective program in providing fresh fruit and vegetables to the youth of our nation and should be continued. Research. The 2008 and 2014 Farm Bill included key provisions which dedicated funding for the Specialty Crop Research Initiative and Specialty Crop Grant programs. These investments must be sustained in the 2018 Farm Bill. Trade. U.S. specialty crop growers face significant obstacles due to the perishability of our products. We strongly support the continuation of technical assistance to specialty crops and marketing access promotion programs. And finally, ag workforce. I know immigration policy is not under this committee's jurisdiction, but our industry needs leaders in agriculture policy at the forefront, pressing Congress to take action on immigration policy that addresses our critical labor needs. Without them, our industry will suffer greatly. So I and other members of United Fresh Produce Association look forward to working with you and on this and other issues and in the fruit and vegetable industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Nelia. Lupe Lopez, and then Joseph Augusto.
Good morning. My name is Lupe Lopez, and I'm the owner of six grocery stores in the Bay Area. Through the grocery store, I see firsthand the struggles that people that have very little money to spend on food go through. So I urge you to support the SNAP program and to expand on it. specifically the incentive programs. Through struggling, through seeing my customers struggle, I see when they come in and they have very little money to spend, and they reach for the first thing, which is either pastas that are inexpensive or the hot dogs. Why? Because they can get two meals out of this hot dog for a family of four. So what happens with this? Obesity and unhealthy. Through the incentive programs, we can gain a lot more. Since February of this year, I've been part of an incentive program called Double Food Bags. And how does it work? You come through the store and you buy California-grown produce. And as you purchase those produce, then you qualify for extra fund. For instance, I come to the store and I buy tomatoes, I bought lettuce, and now I was able to buy the melon. I spent $5.23. So with this $5.23, then we issue a coupon for the same value, penny for penny, up to $10. So that customer is now able to come back, purchase the peaches, purchase the corn, the chiles, and also the blueberries. So what do you gain with that? You gain a customer that is putting food on the table, which makes a big difference for the family. You gain a healthier individual. What do we gain? We gain not spending as much money on their medical bill. What is the farming gains? The farmer, suddenly more produce that are being grown in California are being bought. So the California economy is growing. So it's a win-win situation. So let's expand those incentive programs. Let's support the SNAP program. Don't cut this vital program because it's the difference of the children having food on the table or being hungry all day. Thank you.
Thank you, Lupe. Next, we'll have Joseph Augusto and then Luke O'Leary.
Good morning, gentlemen. Chairman Conaway and members of the committee, my name is Joe Augusto. I currently serve as president of the California Dairy Campaign, CDC. CDC is a grassroots organization representing dairy family farmers throughout California. CDC is a member organization of the California Farmers Union, CFU, a state chapter of the National Farmers Union, a farm organization representing more than 200,000 farmers and ranchers nationwide. California is the largest milk-producing state, but continues to face significant challenges due to different prices between difference between prices paid to dairy producers and the cost of producing milk in their state. During this farm bill debate, our members consider it critical that Congress recognize the failure of the Dairy Margin Protection Program to provide an effective safety net, particularly for dairy farmers in California. Dairy farmers lack a real confidence in this program because they paid substantial premiums in the margin protection program in the first full year, and it failed to provide any sort of effective safety net. The margins in the Dairy Margin Protection Program failed to reflect the farm margins for dairy producers in California. When the Dairy Margin Protection Program was originally proposed, dairy farmers in California were told that it would be better than the Milk Income Loss Program because more milk would be eligible for coverage. Our organization opposed the Dairy Margin Protection Program during the last farm bill debate because we considered it to be an untested insurance scheme. Today, the test results are in, and they're not good for California. Just one dairy farmer signed up for coverage level above the $4 catastrophic level in 2017. The debate in Congress now seems to be focused on lowering premiums for producer operations below 5 million pounds of production per year, or approximately 233 cows. It's important to recognize that the average herd size in California, according to latest CDFA statistics, total now 1,249 cows for California. Under the proposed changes passed by the Senate Agriculture Appropriations Committee, which has received some support from members of both House and Senate Ag Committees, the premium rates for any production above 5 million pounds or operations above 233 cows would be approximately 10 times higher. Not only would this create an equitable system for larger operations in California, it would also insulate smaller dairies from any market signals and would increase milk supplies in the future regardless of market conditions, depressing milk prices further. I would like to today dispel the myth that larger dairy operations are not in need of a safety net because they have other risk management tools. When milk prices do not match milk costs, there is no way out.
They need to encompass
federal dairy program that should be safety net encompass all dairy sizes. With that, I'm out of time. I'd like to just say on behalf of the California Dairy Campaign, I thank the committee for letting me testify here today, and I would like to request the ability to submit additional written testimony on a range of subjects important to the dairy producers to the committee. Thank you again.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Again, I know it's a short time, but make sure you get your comments in, and we'll have that up at the end so that you can make sure and get the written comments. But we have a stack here. We might make sure and give everybody some time. So Luke, O'Leary, and then after that, Elyria Han.
Good morning. My name is Luke O'Leary, State President of the California FFA Association. I'm here to just extend on behalf of the California FFA Association, as well as truly the national FFA organization, a reminder that agriculture industry as well as agricultural education are inherently tied. And as we consider the Farm Bill and consider the future of our industry, we must constantly consider those students who are beginning to join college and careers in the agricultural industry. Our association and our organization impacts students' lives positively by developing their potential for premier leadership and personal success, personal growth, as well as career success. And we do this so that we can grow leaders who will then build communities and strengthen the agricultural industry. Our organization across the nation has grown tremendously over the years, now reaching 650,000 students across the country. And just in the past year, our association has grown nearly 4,000 students. It's now having a total of 87,000 members in the state of California. We're hopeful about the future of agricultural education because of the response we've seen for students as they've experienced rigorous classroom instruction, as well as hands-on relevant projects as they put what they learned in the classroom into practice in their supervised agricultural experience projects, and then get to get tangible relationships with other students from across the country through the FFA and the leadership development they experience there. We're grateful for the relationship and cooperation we have with legislators in our own state as well as across the nation so that we can continue to promote agricultural education in our industry. Some specific bills that have come up recently in our state of securing more funding for agricultural education as well as nationwide, as well as certain bills that in our capital right now that are handling with tax exemptions for students' projects for the first $5,000 they earn annually are very important bills to consider, perhaps including in pieces of the Farm Bill that will support the future of these students who are pursuing careers in the agricultural industry. So we thank you for your time, and we thank you for the constant consideration of the hopefulness of our students who are the future of our industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Luke. Very good. Elyria, and then Martin Sedevindemi, I believe. Martin, but Elyria.
I'm Olivia Hahn.
Olivia. I'm sorry.
I live in San Jose, California, and I'm a district leader volunteer with the Humane Society of the United States. As we all know, animal welfare is a growing concern for many Americans, including myself. We've witnessed this growing concern in corporate reform and animal agriculture, as well as local, state, and federal legislation. I ask that the committee not try to weaken, delay, or block the Organic Livestock and Poultry Practices final rule. The USDA published a final rule to strengthen and clarify the animal welfare standards to protect the integrity of the organic label. Following a memorandum to freeze all regulatory actions, the USDA opened a comment period soliciting input on whether the rule should be allowed to become effective. Nearly 50,000 comments poured in, with more than 99% favoring the immediate implementation of this rule as it was finalized. Every measure of public sentiment has favored the adoption of this rule, which was decades in the making. The rule would keep thousands of farmers on the farm and give them a value-added opportunity to connect to consumers who are willing to pay more for organic products, but expect them to be consistent with higher animal welfare standards. I ask you, please keep the integrity of this rule as you put together the Farm Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Olivia. So we'll have Martin next, and then Sean Hurley.
Thank you, Chairman Conway, members of the committee. My name is Martin Sedevendemi, and I serve as the president of the California Agricultural Commissioners and Sealers Association, or CACASA. California Agricultural Commissioners are the boots on the ground implementing many of the federal programs Congress authorizes. And I can tell you firsthand, both the funding and the consistency of funding by Congress is critical, as the work we do is biological in nature. First, the authorization of Section 10007 in the 2014 Farm Bill helps with consistently funding ongoing initiatives that support the United States' comprehensive network of local, state, and federal stakeholders addressing pests and diseases harmful to the ag industry. The current level of $75 million should be maintained in the upcoming 2018 Farm Bill. Also, the use of these funds should strictly adhere to the targeted activities previously authorized by Congress. Secondly, APHIS collects an estimated $754 million in user fees. We believe a portion of those dollars should be authorized to augment stakeholder activities throughout the comprehensive network of local, state, and federal efforts to combat pests and diseases harmful to the ag industry. And lastly, in the forestry title, we urge your consideration of the U.S. Forest Service's fire borrowing and its impact on biological programs directed at improving forest health and reducing hazardous fuels. We also urge consideration of reducing regulatory hurdles of NEPA analysis for invasive species management. We understand that you have a tremendous task before you in crafting and passing the 2018 Farm Bill. CACASA supports the committee's efforts in maintaining a broad coalition of organizations interested in other important programs, such as commodities, conservation, and nutrition. Thank you for your time, and we appreciate you coming to California.
Thank you, Martin. Sean Hurley, and after that, John Pandel.
My name is Sean Hurley, and I'm here on behalf of California Polytechnic State University Colleges of Agriculture, Food, Environmental Science, and our dean, Andy Thulin. The college is globally recognized as a center of excellence in applied sciences. It enrolls 4,000 undergraduate students, making it the fifth largest undergraduate and the largest non-land grant college of agriculture. The university's farmland is situated where much of the leafy greens and berries are grown for the nation. The university utilizes over 10,000 acres of agricultural land for production, research, and processing facility to educate our students in one of 15 majors. As the House Committee on Agriculture begins to draft a new farm bill, I ask that you please reinvest in non-land grant colleges and agriculture and Hispanic-serving agricultural college and universities, and also to reauthorize the McIntyre-Stennis Capacity Grants, Hispanic-serving institution educational grants, specialty crop research initiative, specialty crop block grants program, and the agricultural college and infrastructure improvement programs. I ask that you please amend existing eligibility to allow campuses to apply for both the McIntyre-Stennis Capacity Grants Program for forestry research and the non-land grant colleges of agricultural program, which offers capacity building for non-land grant schools. Those that receive funding from McIntyre-Stennis are ineligible to compete for this other grant and vice versa. Non-land grants have separate and necessary capacity building needs in both agriculture and forestry. Under existing law, they are forced to choose one funding source over the other. The law needs to be amended to allow campuses to compete for both. The Specialty Crop Research Initiative provides grants to support research and extension for the specialty crop industry. California researchers received over $30 million from this program from 2008 to 2014. The Specialty Crops Block Grant Program provides grants for states to run competitive grants program for research, marketing, and education about specialty crops. As you know, California produces a large percentage of the specialty crops in the U.S., including 73% of the total domestic non-citrus fruit and 70% of the total vegetables in the U.S. These funding sources are extremely important for maintaining the technical capacity to produce these high-value, nutritious crops. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Sean. Next, we'll have John Pandel, and after John, Lester Patrick.
John Pandel, I'm based in Delano, California. We bank about half of our money growing grapes in Central California. The other half of the money, we turn crops into cash for other growers in California, New Jersey, Georgia, Mexico, Peru, and Chile. Two quick things and a big thing. One, country of origin labeling. Get rid of it. We argued about it for 10 years. We've had it for 10 years. We got nothing to show for it. You want to eliminate a few things, like our president said, let's get rid of that one. Second, some of the little regional promotional programs, like we have the Buy California, Jersey Fresh. I spend 75 days a year talking to retailers and wholesalers. I've had very little call for those types of deals. They've done their benefit. If the states want to do them or industry want to do them, fine, but the federal government doesn't need to fund that. The big thing is foreign trade. It is absolutely critical that the U.S. be viewed as a reliable market and supplier. It looks like TTP is in the rest area for right now, but it is absolutely critical that we maintain and respect all of our other trade deals, especially NAFTA, which is such a big deal. Right now there's rumblings on a lot of little sectors, the guys that want to go out and put dumping. Dumping cases have no place in the produce business. It should be prohibited. I've been involved in 5 dumping cases, both as an exporter and importer. They're like divorces. They're messy, expensive, and nobody wins. So dumping must be taken off the table as a remedy in the produce business. And since I got a little time, I want to thank you guys for serving in Congress. I couldn't put up with the incivility and the indignities that you guys got to deal with constituents, and my respects.
Thanks, John. Next, we'll have Lester Patrick, and after that, Dulce Garcia. Lester.
Good morning. My name is Lester Patrick. I'm from Stockton, and I'm currently a commissioner of the Housing Authority of San Joaquin County, which services low-income people throughout San Joaquin County with public housing, housing choice vouchers, and other related services. And I want to focus your attention just briefly on those people this morning and how cuts in the farm bill will impact them. Currently, there's about 303,000 California households receiving housing choice vouchers, and about 30,000 low-income people in California live in public housing and have an income, believe it or not, of less than $20,000 a year. Most of these households include children, the elderly, as well as the disabled, and are also SNAP recipients. 73% of low-income people pay more than half of their income towards rent, with very little left for food. So if there's support for SNAP is cut, then obviously this reduces the amount of money that these people then have for food, especially with the rate of increase in rent throughout California. For 11 years, I have conducted a mentoring program at 3 schools, and in doing so, I try to take students on field trips. One of the primary decisions that have to be made in planning the field trip is when to leave and when to get back so that the students can have food. Students should not have to make those kinds of decisions, because some of them are required to then decide, do I go on a field trip or do I stay at school where I can get food? No student in the United States should be faced with making that kind of decision. However, the recipients, the children of recipients of public housing do sometimes have to make those decisions. I respectfully urge you this morning not to cut any SNAP or any other program that fights hunger and food insecurity in the United States. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Lester. Next, we'll hear from Dulce Garcia and then Lisa Kessler.
Good morning, Chairman Conaway and members of the House Agriculture Committee. My name is
Dulce Garcia. I am the secretary and former communications officer of Region 5 for the Student Senate for California Community Colleges, and I reside in the Central Valley, the heart of California, Madera, where agriculture and supply of food is important in my town and nearby colleges. The Student Senate for California Community Colleges is a nonprofit organization advocating for student rights at the local, regional, and state level. We do go to the Capitol, and we do support bills up there, which represents 2.1 plus million community college students in California. I come to voice my student perspective on the importance of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, contained in the Farm Bill. This past semester in the spring, while volunteering for the RAM Pantry at Fresno City College, a food pantry available for students who are in dire need of food and other supplements, I learned and talked to a few students who made it known that food insecurity is there and is an issue, not just on campuses, but at home as well. 22% of community college students said they'd gone hungry due to lack of money and food, which leads to health issues and lack of academics. A student's daily struggle is to be stable and have housing, but an even greater struggle is to meet the basic need of food supplement. Food insecurity is one of the most devastating variables to the development of the future of America. SNAP supports nutrition assistance for low-income individuals, such as students and families. It's the largest program in the domestic hunger safety net. We hope you keep this in mind and recognize we students are involved and ready to tackle this issue. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee and share my views on this very important topic.
Thank you, Dulce. Lisa Kessler and then Joel Carlin.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Lisa Kessler, the interim dean of the Huntley College of Agriculture at Cal Poly Pomona. Our college offers comprehensive bachelor's and master's degrees programs in agriculture and is the only such program in the southern half of this large state. We have more than 2,000 students in the following departments: human nutrition and food science, animal and veterinary science, ag business, ag science, plant science, apparel merchandising and management. 80% of our majors are students of color and 76% are females, and many are from economically disadvantaged backgrounds and are first in their family to attend college. Our students engage in hands-on learning on a 700-acre farm that includes swine, cattle, sheep, vineyards, greenhouses, crops, and the W.K. Kellogg Arabian Horse Center, which is the oldest continually operating Arabian horse breeding farm in the country. There are two aspects of this legislation that are particularly important to us. Cal Poly Pomona is a Hispanic-serving institution, an HSI. Programs that support minority-serving institutions are especially critical in agriculture. The HSIs, along with our sister minority-serving institutions, fill in the geographical and service gaps left behind by the land-grant institutions. HSI grants have provided extensive internship opportunities for our students, which are critical to their preparation for the ag workforce, including work with the USDA. Please continue these HSI internships when at whatever you can to assure their robust support. Secondly, the programs of our college place emphasis upon how we serve our urban and suburban environment. Applied research efforts, such as the Specialty Crops Initiative, are vital to what we're able to accomplish in urban agriculture. Please retain support for applied research that allows us to address and resolve the complex problems facing our agricultural industry. Thank you for supporting ag education at the university level. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. We'll have next Joel Carlin and then Gary Martin.
Good morning. My name is Joel Carlin. I'm an economist at Western Milling, which is one of the largest feed manufacturers of feed in the country. We service and sell feed to the more than 1.75 million cows and 1,400 dairy operations in the state of California. In addition to my research responsibilities at Western Milling, I also teach agriculture and food policy and international ag econ at Fresno State's Department of Ag Business. The topic I wish to address is the importance of foreign trade. As many people in the audience are aware, the economics of dairying has deteriorated over the past number of years, both nationwide, particularly in the state of California, which, despite a number of impediments, remains the largest dairy-producing state in the country. The escalation of feed prices and the long-term decline in milk prices has made margins either non-existent or unprofitable for many producers. For California dairy men and women, they're already beset with the unenviable combination of the highest feed costs and lowest milk prices. Problems are magnified by a number of factors inherent in the state, including increased regulations with regard to air, water, and land, forthcoming minimum wage and overtime work stipulations, drought, and increased difficulty in procuring farm workers due to immigration concerns. In the past 10 years, California, which used to produce 23% of the nation's milk, is down to 18%. Our cow numbers have fallen 100,000, while those in the United States have increased. I think the biggest factor is that foreign trade is very important. The fact is that people throughout the world need United States products. It results in a wider variety of goods and lower prices. California, which produces a large amount of milk, a tremendous amount is exported. Unfortunately, a large amount is turned into powder, which is exactly the product that's needed overseas. I would urge the committee to pay particular attention to trade, particularly for the country. U.S. ag is the only sector of the U.S. economy that enjoys a trade surplus. We export more than we import. Thank you.